The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Loyal hearts, that's what we're talking about. Loyal, today, my title of my message is Loyal Hearts Keep Covenant. And we're taking that from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. Hallelujah. They offered willingly and they rejoiced. David offered willingly and he rejoiced. It's very important that we understand that offering willingly to the Lord is part of our worship. If we do things with the wrong attitude, it's not a sweet aroma to the Lord.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling you that that you shouldn't press through sometimes. When it comes to worship, sometimes you just have to fake it in order to get there. You have to press in. You know, it's like that in everything in our life. How many of you look forward to going to work every day? Some of you do. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are blessed people. But even if you don't look forward to going to work every day, you look forward to getting a paycheck.
Yes, I
enjoy that. Amen? So if you don't go to work, you're not going to get that paycheck. There's payoff when you press through. You will get something when you press through. And the same thing with worship. When we press through, press into God, we get something out of it. God wants you to press in. He wants us all to press into Him. But here's the thing. The majority of the time, we must have a willing heart to worship God. A willing heart to serve God. A willing heart to give. See, that's what they were doing in this scripture. They were giving to the building of the temple. They were preparing before Solomon was even king. David had the people prepare. Bring all that they needed. Everything in. All the riches, all the resources, all the timber, everything he tried to gather together to build the temple. He did it in advance. And sometimes we have to prepare ourselves in advance. We have to stay on the cutting edge. If we do not, then the enemy has an inroad and he can overcome us, overtake us. So as we give, as I'm talking about our stewardship, our impact stewardship program, I want everybody to understand that part of it is finances. Being a good steward it's about finances. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it's very clear. This is a mandate to Israel, but it flows over into the church. It is the Lord. Remember the Lord your God, for He is the one that gives you power to get wealth. And why does He give you power to get wealth? So that you can establish, He will establish His kingdom through giving you the power to get wealth. Establish His kingdom. And He swore that not only to Israel and their forefathers, but He swears that to us. What is the power to get wealth? It's the power to be prosperous in whatever you're doing. It's not about jingle in your pocket all the time. If somebody needs healing, the money that I have in my pocket isn't going to do them any good. Peter and John, they were going to pray. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'm going to give to you in Jesus' name. That's wealth. That's recognizing the power of God. Joy pointed out to me last week that she was talking with some friends about, not Joy, I'm sorry, Kathy. She was talking with some friends about Jesus never had anything when he walked on the face of this earth. Everything he had was borrowed. He would sleep in other people's places. He told his disciples he don't have a place to lay his head. His tomb was borrowed. Everything was borrowed. But you know what? Jesus also realized this. It all belonged to his heavenly Father. He understood what the scripture says. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Therefore, when Jesus spoke something, it came to pass. When he told the disciples, go borrow a donkey from somebody that I can ride, he knew that it was going to be there and prepared for him because his Father owned it. When he prayed over the meal and he fed 5,000 and 7,000, he knew it was going to happen because it belonged to his Father. See, that's where we need to get to in our life. Where we have that kind of a relationship with our Father that no matter what is happening, we know our Father is our provider. Please understand, things are not good in this world that we live in. We think that the gas prices being down is a good thing. Overall, it's not. There are nations that are suffering terribly because of this. Financially, they're on the verge of collapse. In fact, this morning, James Robinson said that because of the oil prices being down, there is food famines that are being created. Because these nations don't have the resources any longer that they used to have. Now, I don't understand all the economics of the world and what's happening. All I know is my God is my provider. Amen. And no matter what is happening around us, they can fall at one side and God said, I'm going to be there. They can fall on the other side, God said, I'm going to be there. All I have to do is trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? How many cannot lean on your own understanding? I have trouble with that. Amen. My understanding keeps getting in the way. You know, my understanding says that if you don't have such and such an income, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. God says, I am your provider. I will provide all that you need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, my understanding says if I get sick in my body, I got to go to the doctor and get it fixed. Sometimes I do. But reality is, the Word of God says there's healing in his wings. He took stripes upon his back. He's our provider. So what we have to come to the conclusion of, right from the beginning, is that God owns it all. And we are stewards. And that's what these messages are about. All about the fact that we are stewards, or what we would call managers. Is there anybody in here that feels like you're a good manager? Besides my wife, Tammy. Yeah? Deb's a good manager? Good. Anybody else? Leland, you're a pretty good manager. Manage people all the time. Praise God. You know, those are skills. Sometimes, if you have the right personality, it comes easy. But each and every one of us are required, according to the Scripture, to be good stewards. So we have to learn these stewardship management skills. And if you're like me, you scream and cry about it all the time. I don't like it. It's hard for me. I'm a free spirit, man. I just want to go do my own thing. I want to be left alone. How many of you are like that? Am I the only one in here? Come on. This is not easy for us. But it's necessary for us. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Every one of us, man, woman, man is gender neutral there, people be found faithful. Each one of us is going to answer to the living God for how we managed our life, how we managed our resources, how we managed our time, how we managed our talents. Does that scare anybody but me? Now, I don't want you to think that that has anything to do with your salvation and going to heaven. You know, the sweet by and by, that's wonderful. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You confess your sin. You receive Him. Salvation is in the Lord. However, Scripture is pretty clear about the fact that we are going to be judged on what we do with what we have. Let me prove that to you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Let's begin with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants to deliver his goods to them. Remember, he's making an analogy here. Jesus says, kingdom of heaven is like this. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, a talent, it was a weight of a measure of weight, but it eventually became known as a certain amount of money, and it was a day's wages. So let me see if I've got that right. No, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. A talent represents denarii, 6,000 denarii, and 6,000, each denarius was a day's wages. So I had that mistaken just a little bit. So this this amount of money that he's talking about is 6,000 days' wages. This is a substantial amount of money. Lots of money. How many would like to have lots of money to have to deal with? Amen. Come on. Are you guys so holy that you don't want money? Yes, amen. It's not money that's evil. Get that out of your thinking. It's the love of money. And you can love money without having it. Lots of people do. Lots of people love money, and they don't have a dime. Yes, yes. But you can tell by the way they operate their life that they're in love with money. They will still kill, destroy to get money. So it's not money that's evil, it's the love of money. And what God is telling us here in this scripture, as we continue to read, we're going to find out that He wants His people to learn to manage it properly. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded them and made another five talents. What did he do with them? What did he do with what he had? He traded them. He did something with them. He increased them is what it's going to tell us. And likewise, he who had two gained two more. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So here we have three kinds of people, that two of them took what they had. Now, realize something. What he has given them is based on what he believed they had the ability to handle. God is giving you what he believes you have the ability to handle. It's not just money. He's talking about all your time, your talent, all the resources that you have. He's talking about you, who you are, and what you have in your life. I have discovered when it comes to spiritual gifts that if you will use the gifts that God gives you, he will add to your gifts. But if you squander them, you don't do anything with what you have, there's no need for you to progress forward until you do. So it's very important that we recognize that we have the ability based on what God has given us. God's given you the things that you have because he believes you can handle this much. And if you just have a little, handle it properly. And I guarantee you, God will add to it. That's the way he is. That's the kind of father that we have. I'm a father. I love my children. And when I see them prospering, when I see them using the resources that they have, I am very proud of that. And when I have an opportunity, if I need to be involved with their life for some reason, to give them something or do something for them, I do not hesitate, because I see that they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're handling, they're managing properly. Praise God. And I pat them on the back and I say, good job. Keep going. God keeps adding. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. What did he do with it? He hid it away. He hid away everything that God had given him. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This happened to the next guy as well. And then the last one, what happened? The Lord said, what'd you do with my money? He said, I hid it because I was afraid of you. He said, surely you know that I deal justly with people. And he said to him, he said, I'm afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. God doesn't want your talent back. He doesn't want your money. He wants you to use your finances. He wants you to use your talent. He wants you to use your gifts and your abilities to expand his kingdom. He doesn't have need of your money. He needs nothing from you except your love. He has a great desire for that. Obedience is what we're talking about here this morning. Being obedient to the Lord. Sometimes it's costly to be obedient to the Lord. In my own life, I can tell you, it has cost me a great deal, but it's always been profitable. Yeah. Does that make any sense to you? Yeah. It's always been very costly to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. It's been painful at times. It's been financially difficult at times, but it's always been profitable to me and to other people when I serve the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. You see, that's one of the things that I want to talk about this morning, is that this thing that we're talking about, this steward, being a good steward, having loyal hearts. A loyal heart, a believer that has a loyal heart, recognizes the importance of covenant relationship. You have covenant relationship in order, your life will be blessed. Because covenant relationship begins with Almighty God. The Word of God is very clear. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Jesus told us that. All our heart. Gosh. I love God with all my heart. All my soul and all my mind. What he's saying there is so important for us to understand that our whole being, I believe that we are created in the image of God. What does that mean? God is a triune being. Amen? Equal parts. Powerful. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That lives inside of believers. We are created in that same image. We're a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Praise God. We have a body. Amen. How many are glad? I know there's some aches and pains in this body. There's some difficulties. I'm still crazy. At 57 years old, I still go out and try to play basketball with these young guys. That's painful. I want you to know that. It hurts. So there's some difficulties about being in this body, but it's all a part of what God created us to be. Because one day, this body is going to deteriorate completely and die. But my spirit and my soul are going to remain alive. And here's the great thing. The Word of God is very clear that on the day that Jesus splits the eastern sky, the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise. Hallelujah. Oh my. And those who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. And they'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. What does that mean? Listen, believe it or not, you may not like this, but you're going to be in this body when Jesus comes back. Otis said he's going to have his six pack back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. He doesn't either. He's just open. But we do know this, that Jesus died, went to the grave, and came back to life. And he told us that we would be like him. Praise God. Now, I know that for some people, you had this image that you're going to die and go to heaven. We're going to be with God and we're going to be spirits floating around all over the place. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to resurrect us. We're going to live here on this earth for 1,000 years. But the bodies, according to the Word of God, will be incorruptible.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Otis will have his six pack. Amen. I'm going to be able to play basketball, play circles around 20-year-olds. We can run and jump and shout. You know, we're not going to be thinking about that kind of stuff. What we're going to be thinking about is serving our God with all our being. That's the kind of stuff we'll be thinking about. Glorifying the name of our God, lifting him up on high, praising his holy name. But I want to drive this point on. I want you to understand how important it is that we serve God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And get this heart thing right. Loyal hearts. That's what we're talking about. Having a loyal heart. Because there is blessing when we have a loyal heart to the Lord. You know, King David, God said himself about David. He said, he's a man after my own heart. Did that mean he was perfect? Surely not. He committed adultery, had the woman's husband murdered, put a contract out on him, said, take him up there next to the enemy and then back away from him. Let him kill him. Man, I don't think I would have liked David very well. But yet I want to be like David. Not in that sense. My wife is in total agreement. But I want to be a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? It means that, to me, it means that I'm loyal to the things of God. I'm willing to sacrifice the things that I want to do the will of God. That I'm willing to hear the voice of God and recognize as I go through this life that God is directing my steps. He's ordered them and He's directed them. When I first decided to become the pastor of South Bethel New Testament Church, I chose that. I felt like God was speaking to me. He said, I want you to do this. I really didn't want to do it. You know, how many of you ever been there? You know, God's told you to do something. You really don't want to do it, but you know it's God's will. Hallelujah. And you want to be obedient. So I went screaming and kicking and complaining, but it was God's will, and I did it. And in 1995, I started pastoring at that church. That summer, I think it was, August? That fall, I guess it was, Athens County had their fair. And we were at the fair, right? I hadn't been pastoring very long at all. Month, probably, about a month. And Tammy and I were off someplace else, and our son, Micah, was walking around. He was old enough that he could do that. He was, 14, something like that. She's not helping me much this morning. Yes. 10, see? I knew she would know. 10 years old. And he was off walking around by himself, and he was down where the bulls come out. People lead their animals out to be judged. And a young kid was leading this huge bull out, and the bull broke loose and ran right over top of our son. Knocked him down. Can you imagine what those hooves could have done to him? I mean, just crushed him. Crushed the life out of him. Somebody who was there that was a believer saw what happened. They said they know without a doubt that there was angels right there keeping them hooves. They just came down right beside of him. All around him. After that happened. Now, I don't want anybody to make a doctrine out of this, because things don't always turn out as great as we'd like for them to.
That's right.
But after that happened, right after, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, because of your obedience, your son's life was spared. The enemy wanted to take him, and I have spared him. There is no greater reason to serve the living God than to know that you are walking in His protection. Amen. Oh, glory. My God is so good. And He loves His people. As we continue to seek our God with loyal hearts, I want to call your attention to that scripture again. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. As we go through this stewardship campaign this year, we're asking you to give 2 years to help us pay off this building. We're asking you to make a pledge. Simple. We make pledges all the time. We make pledges to the credit card companies. We make pledges to the banks. We make pledges to one another. You know, all kinds of pledges that we make. Sometimes people take scripture out of context and try to say, well, God told us not to make pledges. Well, if that's true, if you really believe that, I'm okay with it. If that's what you really believe. But don't you go up to the bank here, local bank, and sign a note.
Amen, Pastor. That's right.
If that's what you really believe.
That's right.
Now, I spoke some of this on this last week, so you understand where I'm coming from, those of you who heard it, if you didn't get the message. I want you to understand that what we need as a body is for loyal hearts. I don't care how much you give. And I've said this for several years. That's not my concern. That's between you and God. If you pray, if you seek the living God, I believe He will speak to your heart. And you'll do it if you want to be obedient. What you give is based on what you have, what your resources are, and what God speaks to your heart. For some, it may be a very substantial amount. Some have pledged $400 a month. Others have pledged $5 a month, because that's what they could give. That's what they felt that God was speaking to them. You know what? We don't treat the ones that pledge $400 any better than we treat those who pledge $5. It's not about how much you give. It's about whether you have a loyal heart toward me as the pastor, toward the leaders of this church, toward this congregation. Do you believe in what we're doing here at Bethel Worship Center?
That's right. Amen. That's right.
That's what I want to see. People with loyal hearts standing together.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now here's what I want you to understand. God requires from us, from His people, to make a commitment to serve Him above all else.
Yes. Amen.
To love Him and to serve Him. And sometimes that's very painful.
Yes.
It doesn't always turn out exactly the way we would like for it to. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a believer, a pastor, leading up to the Second World War. Powerful man that loved God, served God, and he hated what the Nazis were doing. And he spoke out against them. And he had the opportunity to come to the United States, and he did. He was able to leave Nazi Germany and come to the United States. And while he was here, the Holy Spirit just kept dealing with him. He loved God, and he wanted to do God's work, and he loved the German people, and he wanted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the German people. So even though he knew that his life was in danger, he went back to Germany. And he stood toe-to-toe with Adolf Hitler. And he spoke against the things that Hitler and his regime were doing. Killing Jews, killing people that were opposed to him. And he was imprisoned and he was put in one of their concentration camps. And for several years he was in that concentration camp. Horribly mistreated. Just a few months before the Allies liberated that concentration camp, Heinrich Himmler ordered Bonhoeffer's execution. And he died before he could be liberated. But I want to tell you something. That may seem like a sad story. But we're going to know just how powerful that story is when Jesus Christ comes back.
That's right.
People like that are going to be honored and elevated in the kingdom to come. Things are happening in this world that we live in right now. There were pastors during his time that told him, they said, listen, don't speak out about those things, because if you do, we won't be able to preach the gospel. This is what he said to them. One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. It's right to take a stand. You have to take a stand. But I want to tell you, not everybody's taking a stand today. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have to be firm in what we believe. We have to know that there is such a thing as sin and speak out against it. I don't condemn people. I want people to know that if they're a sinner, they can be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ through His blood. Glory. But if we as the Church of Jesus Christ stand around and allow people to walk in sin such as fornication, adultery, same-sex marriage, and all these things that are being perpetrated upon our society these days, and we don't speak out, we'll be like those pastors that Bonhoeffer was talking about, and those people. We have to take a stand. And I can tell you this. I know in my heart that unless we see a revival in this land, there's going to come a time where my free speech to say the things that I just said will be under fire. Yes. And I will either be ousted completely, imprisoned, maybe even murdered because of it. I believe that's on the horizon. Got to know what's happening. Look and see where we are. Jesus is coming back. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Don't hang your head. Don't feel bad. We still have hope. That's why it's time for us to preach the gospel now, to tell people that Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that you can receive salvation in Him.
That's right.
Now is the time. There is still light. And Jesus said, preach it while there's still light. I'm going to wrap this message up in just a moment. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Begin with verse 10. Now, let me preface this just a little bit with what's happening here. Jeremiah is a prophet to Israel. And they've been taken into captivity. And they're being punished for being disobedient. That does happen in the kingdom of God. Now, I know all we hear these days is that we have a good God, a loving God. And we do have a good, loving God. But He is a righteous God. And He expects certain things from people. And we have to walk righteous and holy before Him. And if we're not doing that, there are consequences. Not that God pours His wrath up on us, but we separate ourselves from the love of God when we do those things. So there is a certain lifestyle that we are to maintain as believers. Will we be perfect? No. Will we make mistakes? Yes. Praise God. I'm free to make mistakes in Christ. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. But if I continue those same mistakes over and over and over and over, God calls that sin and rebellion. And there's consequences for it. But here's what he has to say to the people of Israel. Even though they had consequences for their sin, he says this to them. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. He's giving them hope for the future. There's hope. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God wants you to have. Future. Hope for the future. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Loyal hearts, when we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. He's looking for people who have a loyal heart toward him. I'm looking for people who not only have a loyal heart to God, but have a loyal heart toward me. I'm the pastor here. I'm the leader. It's necessary for you to have a loyal heart toward me. If you say things about me behind my back to whoever, that's not a loyal heart. If you tear this church down to other people, you don't have a loyal heart. Why are you here? What is your purpose? We are to work together to build the kingdom of God. I love every one of you. I wouldn't run anybody off intentionally. I don't want to do that. But we must work together. Have loyal hearts toward one another. I love you. I want to be loyal to you. I desire for you to be loyal to me. Loyal to the leaders. Loyal to one another. My goodness. Man, I hear all kinds of stories about people being, churches splitting because of color of the carpet. This side wanted green, this side wanted blue. Yeah, that's right. Drums in the middle. Where are you going to put the drums? Split the church because we take sides. How ridiculous is that? When the world is dying without Jesus as their Savior. And we want to fight over the color of the church or whether we blow the shofar or not. Come on. I'm not ragging on anybody. I just want you to understand how trivial some of these things are. We want, you know, we want to do things that uplift everybody. We're striving for that. Heading in that direction. With God's help, we will accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. But it's going to take loyal hearts. People who are loyal to God, to the pastor, to the leaders, and to one another. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.